After a new year, obviously Brother Flanders preached for us last week, and those were wonderful services. Amen. Thank God for our dear brother. But as your pastor, I want to wish you God's richest blessings in your life this year. I just pray that God will pour out His blessings upon you. Now, there are some blessings that God bestows upon all His creation. Sunshine is one of them. Amen? I'll tell you what, the Loomis Lunatics yesterday, I was glad the sun was at least shining. Amen? And we were out there in 1 degree, and poor Joel, amen? Joel had, he didn't have any boots, he had boat shoes on. And didn't have any gloves. And I'm sitting there with gloves, and I'm thinking, you know what, my hands are getting a little sweaty. No, but I'm not giving you my gloves. I'm sorry, amen? Sunshine is certain. You know, each one of us right now, you could do this. Breathe. Air to breathe is God's blessing. You know, there are people right now that are breathing God's air that mock God and hate God. And God yet still blesses them. I think of springtime, hallelujah, we'll all have the blessing of the spring rain. I asked my wife one time, I said, you know, what's your favorite month of the year? And we're both in agreement on that. It's October. It's beautiful. Amen. All the colors and all that. And she said, I said, what's your least favorite month of the year? She said, March. And I said, why? She said, because everything's brown. Preparing for the rain. Amen. God blesses us with rain. How about this blessing, ladies and gentlemen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The offer of eternal life, the blessing to anyone that would ask. That word, whosoever, it means whoever wants to. What a word. The blessing of the offer of eternal life. But can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? While God pours out many blessings upon His creation, most of the blessings that we find in the Word of God, which He desires to bestow upon you and I, are what we call conditional blessings. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, go with me if you would. Hold your place there in Jonah. We'll be coming back there. But go with me if you would to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Here God's people are getting ready to enter into the promised land. And we come across this. And I remember I preached out of this text 2 years ago on the first Wednesday of January in 2013, and I preached a message entitled, Are We Blessable? Are we blessable as a church? Are we blessable, the Zavodsky family? Is this preacher blessable? Well, the Bible says there, and it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which He shall command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these nations shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto do the blessings shall. Let me read that again, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and it shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And it goes on, it keeps going. And remember, what did God say at the beginning? He said, if you observe to do that which I've commanded you, I will bless you. Isn't that wonderful? I think about it in relation to children. And praise God, my kids are 5 and 6 and 1. and the one-year-old is giving us more trouble than the other two. Amen? But I make it clear, Brother Horace, as I'm dealing with my kids, if you just obey Daddy, everything's going to be okay. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed with ice cream and chocolate sauce and whipped cream. No, we're not coming over to Pastor's for ice cream this afternoon. Amen. But all those things, there are rewards that accompany obedience. Amen?
Yeah.
And if you go with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. I want to show you another passage here where God conditions these blessings. Amen? Jeremiah chapter number 18. And I know some of you don't have a Bible. It's okay. Look on with somebody there that has one. And I want you to see these verses. So important to our message today. And I'm going to drive home the point right at the end of the message today. But Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse number 7. Here in the beginning, God says, "Look, I'm the potter and you're the clay." But then in verse 7 he says, "At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it?" God says, look, I'm able to do what I want with the kingdoms of the earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God can do what He wants with His own, and all God's people said. But then He says, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and a kingdom to build and to plant it." By the way, I always think of America when I think of these verses in verse 9 and 10. God was in the beginning of America. Oh, was He ever. The virtues of the founders can be seen strewn all through the history books. But then it says, "If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." What do we see here? We see this. God says, look, if I pronounced a judgment upon you and you turn and you obey my voice, forget it. Amen?
Yep.
Says, but the opposite is also true. If I've pronounced a judgment and you go headlong into that judgment, I will judge you. See, there's a consequence here. There's a cause and effect. A cause and effect. The effect that we want is blessings. Amen? I would rather be blessed than cursed. But the cause is obedience to God. Now that's a word in our postmodern society that people don't like. The word obey. Right now, some of you are thinking, obey. I see Robbie out there. Amen. God bless you, Robbie. Marine, amen. When the sergeant speaks, you don't get to choose, buddy. You obey. That's the rule, amen. You know, when God speaks, God allows us to choose. But we're blessed if we obey. We're blessed. See, sometimes we just see the obey. Oh, boy, I've done a bit of marriage counseling. And we get to Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Oh, boy, I get a glare. Amen. Obey them. Why? That's the way God set it up. To get blessings that come from that. Brother Flanders mentioned last week, getting under the protection of God. I think of that passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the revival verse. We know it. If my people, that's us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what's going to heal the sin sickness of America? God's people getting right with God. That's what it says there. If you want the blessing of a healed land, you need to humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. There's a cause and effect. I think about when Jesus Christ performed His miracles. You know, His miracles in the Gospel of John were particular, that men would believe on Him. He said that at the end of John chapter 20, that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I think of the first miracle that He performed, and it's His first miracle, recorded miracle, is when Jesus turned the water into wine. And no, please, He did not turn it into alcoholic wine. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe somebody would stand up in an AA meeting and say, "My name is Jacob, and I took my first drink at the wedding of Cana." I don't think that, amen. I don't think Jesus would help somebody into sin. Amen, amen. I think it was that pure grape juice that we have at communion time. But when He did that, when He turned the water into wine, you know what He said? There was a cause and effect. He said to the servants, "Fill the water pots." You know what? Over and over and over you see, Jesus says, "You do the possible, and I'll do the impossible." He said, "Fill the water pots." Later on, He went and healed the nobleman's son. He said to the nobleman, "You go thy way and see if he's healed." The nobleman could have stood there and said, "You know what? I don't want to obey." But he wanted his son healed, didn't he? And he went and the son was healed. I think about that man that was by the pool 38 years. And Jesus said to him, "You know what your part is? Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." And he did. And he was blessed. On and on we could go. In John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle listed in all four Gospels. What was the part that we had? What was the part for them to obey? Jesus said to the disciples, "Make the men to sit down." And you remember what happened. Jesus kept breaking that bread and fishes and breaking that fish. And it says, and they were filled, all 5,000 men. And if there were women and children there, probably about 20,000. And they filled up 12 baskets left over. John chapter 9, verse 7. Oh, you remember the man who was born blind. Jesus put the clay on his eyes. And what did He say to him? He said, "You, go wash in the pool of Siloam." What if, Brother Horst, what if he said, "You know what? I don't want him. Come on. I don't want him. I don't want to wash in that dirty pool." By the way, we have somebody in the Old Testament. Anybody remember Naaman? God said, "Just go dip in the Jordan 7 times. He said, "I don't want to dip in that old dirty, muddy Jordan." All right, keep your leprosy then. Or you could just obey God. Amen? And it goes on. We see in John chapter 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus. You remember what He said to Mary and Martha and the crowd? He said, "Take away the stone." Why? "Because I'm going to do something wonderful. But you need to do your part." We're looking, if we would, I want you to go back and get into Jonah there. And I want you to notice this. And of course, obviously, we meant, what is God's condition of blessing? It's that word and song we teach our kids. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Obedience. Obedience is the condition of God's blessing. Finis Dake wrote, "There is no place under law or grace where a man can disobey and be blessed of God." We don't like that word obey, and we'd rather reclassify and relabel and recategorize so that we can feel better about our lack of obedience. And stubbornness is what the Bible calls it. By the way, every time I point one finger out at you, I've got three pointing back at me. Amen. We all struggle with obedience, and all God's people said. Remember Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, he said, "Blessed of the Lord, I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord." And old Samuel, boy, he called him out on it, didn't he? "You did? What meaneth the bleating of these sheep then? How come I hear sheep? Because the commandment of the Lord was for you to destroy everything." "Oh, well, we're going to, of course, use those for sacrifice. And that's pretty much why I disobeyed." Boy, when you spruce it up like that, it sounds a little better, doesn't it? Not to God, it doesn't. You know what God said at the end of that passage? That He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. I want to talk about this idea today. Look with me in Jonah, if we could. Jonah chapter 1. And look at verses 1 and 2 there. Jonah chapter 1. And I want you to notice, first of all, the directive this morning. The directive. God gives a directive, and He says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And God gave a directive here. He gave a directive, if you follow the old question mark theory here, who did He give a directive to? He gave a directive to Jonah. Jonah had the call of God on his life. Where did He tell him that directive? He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. What did He say? What did He want him to do? He wanted him to cry aloud and to spare not. And why did He give this directive? Because the wickedness of Nineveh was great. You know, I'm reminded of that. Wicked cities and wicked cultures need preachers and need churches. Sometimes we lament, I know I certainly do, about how the direction our land is going. I think socially, morally, we lament that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a more exciting time to serve God. You know why? Because you know all that darkness needs is light. That's all it needs. And God told Jonah, He gave him a divine directive. He said, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. But then we see not only the directive in verse 3, we see the departure. Look at it with me in verse 3. So God said, if we could put it in our modern day, God said, I want you to go to Chicago. And it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God said this, if we could come aside here, I want you to go to Chicago. Jonah said, I'm going to New Orleans. Not what God said. Matter of fact, plainly the opposite of where God wanted him to go. And the amazing thing, and I preached a message on this a couple of years back out of verse 3 on he paid the fare. He not only completely and utterly disobeyed God, but he paid to do it. Can I tell you, young people, sin is fun. Come on, older people, help me. Sin is fun, but there's a price to be paid. And it's going to cost you a lot more than you're willing to pay. Jonah, here he not only fled from God, or he thought he was fleeing from God, really evading the call of God is what he was doing, but he paid to do it. So the directive, the departure, I love this, the dealings. Look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. If you jump down to the last verse of the chapter, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. What were the dealings? Listen, when a divine directive has been disobeyed, God will make preparations to deal with us. And I have found this, even in my own personal life. My dad had this philosophy. He didn't know it was a biblical philosophy, but it is. When I disobeyed a directive from my father, he made preparations to deal with me. And usually his preparations were right about here. Amen? And they had a buckle, thankfully, that he would wrap in his hand. I was always afraid I was going to get hit with the buckle and the meat was going to get pulled off of my body. Amen? Never happened. He made preparation. And I'm going to tell you something about God the Father. Is God the Father, when He tells us specifically to do something and we thumb our noses at Him, don't be surprised if God deals with you. By the way, you ought to be surprised if He doesn't. And you ought to be scared to death that He doesn't deal with you. Because I promise you this, our Heavenly Father chastens His children. Thankfully, most of the chastening that God does in our lives is right here. You read the Word, the Holy Spirit smites your heart, you repent, you talk to God about it, say, God, help me to obey, help me. But here, the dealings, God makes preparations. He brings that great storm to deal with Jonah. Later on, he would bring a great fish. We see the distress in verses 5 and 6. Look at, then the mariners, and mariners are not people that are prone to distress and craziness and screaming. They've seen many storms in their lives. And they cried, every man unto his God, small g. Cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it to them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I want to tell you this about your disobedience and my disobedience. It doesn't occur in a vacuum. Say, what's that mean, Pastor? That means, as simply as I could put it, is this. When we deliberately disobey God, it affects everybody else. See, we're a church body. That's what we are. A church body. And you know what sin is in a body? It's like infection. It's like infection. And I'd say sinners are infection, but sin is like an infection. And when you have an infection, I don't care if you have an infected baby toe. Have you ever, I recently, oh my goodness, went to the dentist, had teeth pulled. I had infected teeth, and I'm going to tell you what, they just didn't hurt right here. It, my whole body, when that man began to work on my tooth and try to remove it, I just about crossed my eyes and almost punched him out, amen, because it hurt so bad. Your sin, you see, we think we can just disobey God and it's just between us, God, and the devil. It's not. We're part of a body. We're part of the body of Christ. And here, why were they in such distress? Because of Jonah's sin. I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We treat disobedience so lightly in so many ways. But God doesn't. God doesn't. He sent distress into this heart. So the distress, the dealings, the departure, the directive. Notice the detection in verses 7 through 10. They cast lots, and the lot comes to Jonah, and they ask Jonah about himself, and what's going on here, and what's this all about, and he begins to tell them who he is, and why all this distress has come upon them. He and all on board knew that he had disobeyed God, and that the storm was a consequence. You know, sin always has consequences. Always. Always. I think about Abraham when he went to Egypt and wasted all those years, the consequences. I think of how Moses could not enter into the promised land. Why? Because God said, I want you to speak to the rock and water's going to come gushing out and I'm going to get all the glory. And Moses said, I've had it enough with these whining Jews. And he took that rod and he hit the rock twice and water came out. And they looked and said, wow, look what Moses did. A consequence. I think about Solomon, the wisest man that ever. I know about you. I tried to read through Proverbs at least 6 times a year. One proverb a day, every other month. Read Psalms 1 month, 5 psalms a day, and one proverb a day. The wisest man that ever lived, the writer, the human author of Proverbs, married 700 wives, ungodly, turned his heart from the Lord. The writer of Proverbs. What was the consequence of him marrying all those wives and going off into sin? I'll tell you what it was. He became a castaway. I think about the man of God in 1 Kings 13. You ought to study that. God told him not to turn in and to do exactly what he had said. And he turned in and he was devoured by a lion. I think about, of course, Jonah here. He had a three-day hotel stay at Whale's Inn. Amen. How about Peter? Remember in John chapter 21 when the Apostle Peter said, "You know what? I'm through with this ministry stuff. I'm quitting. I go fishing." Anybody remember how many fish he caught that night? Me too. It's an easy number to remember. Amen. Zero. That was the consequence of his disobedience. Can I say this? God wants to pour out His blessings upon you. But He cannot bless willful disobedience. Consistent willful disobedience. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we don't disobey God. But we get it right with Him and we move on. Here's what I want to give you the thrust of the message here in about 10 minutes. We've got the directive. We've got the departure. We've got the dealings. We've got the distress. We've got the detection. Then we have a decision in verses 11 through 17. A decision. A decision. What's the decision? Well, they made part of it in verse 5, if you look at it there. It said, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship," or the extras, the tackle, "to lighten it of them." But then if you go down to verse 11, "And then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." By the way, that's a great verse. You always know when God's chastening you. You know. We don't need anybody else to tell us. You don't need to go up and say, "The Lord is obviously chastening you." Well, first of all, you're not the Lord and you're not the person who's being chastened, so you don't really know that. Amen. Let God. But Jonah knew. Jonah knew. He knew that what was going on here. Then he said, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard," verse 13, "to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, lay not upon us the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. As soon as they threw Jonah overboard, the storm stopped. Here's what I want to get across to you today. In 2015, if I, as your pastor, could give you some counsel today, whether you're in your teens or whether you're in your teens, lighten the load. Lighten the load. Say, what does that mean, Pastor? Disobedience is too heavy of a burden for you to bear. Because you know what it does? It takes the spigot of God's blessings and shuts it and squirts Loctite all over it, Brother Leonard. Amen. That's what disobedience does to the blessings of God. Oh, there'll still be sunshine. There'll still be rain. There'll still be air. But the heavens will be like brass. Lighten the load. You know, Jonah represents disobedience in this. And you know what they did with disobedience? They chucked him overboard. They sent him out with the chum. Lighten the load. Can I say this? disobedience becomes a habit just like obedience becomes a habit. Lighten the load. One of the great privileges of the Christian life is self-judgment. We celebrated the Lord's table just a couple of weeks ago, and we have a memorial feast of broken unleavened crackers and pure grape juice, unfermented grape juice, and they represent the body and blood of the Lord that was broken and for us, and His blood was poured out for us so that we could obtain salvation and go to heaven, amen. And all of that, we celebrate a memorial feast. There's nothing efficacious or saving in any of those elements, but one of the great privileges before we take the Lord's table, as we look at ourselves and see if we have any known sin that we have not brought to the Lord and confessed as such. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What a verse. What a verse. Why? Because God gives us that privilege of self-judgment. Lighten the load. Obey Him in reading your Bible this year. Hey, we just started. We're 10 days deep. You say, oh, I didn't get... You get caught up. You get caught up. Take this Bible schedule this week and take what's behind it and add a chapter a day and you'll get caught up in 10 days. You'll get caught up. Obey God in the matter of spending time in prayer. Oh, here's one. I don't apologize for saying it either. Obey God in witnessing. Some people have been saved 30, 40, 50 years, never led anybody to the Lord. Listen, you don't want to meet the Lord never having brought anybody to heaven with you. That's a heavy burden. Why not just obey Him? You say, well, what if people laugh at me? You'll be like the rest of us. Yeah. Right. Amen? What if they make fun of me? It happens. It'd sure be a lot better that God was pleased with you and pouring out His blessings on your life than to carry that heavy burden of disobedience and say, you know what, I'm too scared to witness. I'm not going to do it. Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen? Lighten the load. Throw that overboard. Throw that, amen, amen, Jeffrey. Throw that overboard, amen. I love to get amens from Jeffrey, hallelujah. Witnessing. I think about attending church. Again, let me, I know some cannot get out to another service. But some of you can. And we gather together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night as a church. That's our church calendar. Lighten that load of disobedience. Say, you know what? I'm going to be here. I know there are times when you have to work. I know that. Amen, church? Your pastor knows that. I understand. But if you can be here, lighten the load of disobedience and be here. God will bless you. I promise. On the authority of the Word of God, lighten the load. Obey Him in serving. Are you serving the Lord? Do you have a ministry right now? If not, why not? You say, Pastor, I don't know what I should have for a ministry. Certainly, I'd love to talk to you about that, pray with you about that. Everybody should have a ministry. Think about the idea of giving. Spoke to someone this week. It was such a blessing to me. They asked me if we had the ability at our church to be able to give with a debit card. And I know some churches that do that, and the good fundamental churches. And I said, well, we don't. And I just told them what I do with my tithe. When I deposit my check that this church is so kind to provide to me and my family, when I deposit my check, I take out my tithe in cash from the gross. And I never even question it anymore. It's never part of my account. It's going right in the tithe envelope and it goes in. And we were just talking about that. And I could tell that God was dealing with him about giving. You know that great passage in the Bible in Malachi chapter 3. God says, you're cursed with a curse. They said, what do you mean we're cursed? Where have we refused? Where have we robbed you, God? God says, in tithes and offerings. Then God says this, listen, bring y'all tithes to the storehouse and see if I will not pour you out a blessing. Amen. It's my desire to bless you. Just obey me. Just obey me. And I could tell that God was dealing with his heart about giving. I think about the tithe, and of course that takes care of our church and our church expenses. But I think about missions. I think about missions. And I want to close with this if I could. When we get into the habit of disobeying God, it becomes the death knell of a church. It really does. Because when that becomes acceptable, what's going to become acceptable to the next generation is much more frightful. And the story is told of a man who asked an artist to paint a picture of a decaying church. And when the work was completed, many of those who viewed it were astonished. They had expected to see a picture of an old, crumbling, dilapidated ruin of a building. Instead, the artist had drawn a magnificent edifice of a church. Through the open doors could be seen richly carved furniture, the splendid organ, and the beautiful stained glass windows. Within the entrance was an elaborately designed offering plate, above which hung a box designated Foreign Missions. And directly above the slot through which the money was to pass for foreign missions was a huge cobweb. That's disobedience, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because God has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How do we do that? We do that through giving to missions. And that church had shown its disobedience. Why? Oh, they had a beautiful building. They had all the things that a church ought to have, an organ and a piano and furniture and a choir loft and all that. But they had disobeyed God in the most important things. So here's my question to you. Do you want to bear the burden of disobedience? Psalm 38:4 talks about the heavy burden of disobedience. I'll tell you this, from somebody who has borne that burden in my life, it's a lot easier to just lighten the load. The storms cease when they lighten the load. Amen? Let's lighten the load. Just say, you know what, when the devil comes and tempts us to disobey God, say, you know what, I'm going to obey God. Amen. I'm going to obey God. You know, my kids need me to obey God. My kids need to see me obeying God. Oh, I don't do it for that reason. I want to obey God because I love Him. But my children need to see me obeying God. Your children need to see you. My children need to see you obeying God. Your children need to see me obeying God. Again, it goes back to that we're a body. Yep. We're not independent of one another. When there's sin, you know what we need to do? You know what you have to do with infection? Got to get it out. You got to lighten the load. Lighten the load today. Father,